You're a wizard, Harry.
Welcome to the Harry Potter Book Club for the Prisoner of Azkaban with
Sarah Tompkins,
Vijaya Shrestha,
and I'm Michael DeMauro. This week we discuss Chapter 15, The Quidditch Final. We learn all about Azkaban, and the battle for the Quidditch Cup continues. We are back with yet another week of the Quidditch Cup. It is neck and neck. Everyone's, besides Vijaya, is getting a little drunk, and I don't know what else to say. I had a really good intro, and these guys just blew it for me, so. Can you guys hear me?
I have nothing to say because I am super sad.
I was waiting for your good intro. What was your good intro?
I don't remember. It was good, though. It was great. This is everyone's favorite segment where we quiz each other for points, and then we award a Quidditch Cup.
Or shame each other.
Mostly shame each other.
Mostly that. Okay.
I'm ready for the shame
and the glory.
Who goes first?
Sarah, read the first question, please.
I will read the first question. Are you guys ready?
Vijaya, are you okay? Everything okay, Vijaya?
Yeah. I might as well go down like guys, gotta be- Phoenix, but... A phoenix that's about to die and never rises back up. Go ahead.
Okay, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Just like Thoreau, I'm ready for this question. What is the name of the executioner who kills and doesn't kill Buckbeak?
Beep. Ba-ding. Ding. Bieber. Michelle. Ding, ding.
Bieber?
McNair.
It is McNair. For extra bonus points, do you know his first name?
I do not.
Steve.
It is Walden, just like Thoreau. Walden.
Okay. They refer to him as McNair, though, right?
It's McNair. Like, no, they refer to him countless times as McNair, and then at one point they refer to him as Walden McNair, but only once. So I will definitely take McNair. So, Michael, you are correct.
Yes. Yes. Great.
For some reason, I was like, Scabinor.
That's not it.
That sounds right. That actually sounds like a musketeer, though. So maybe you need to refer to Dumas. Okay.
I've got a question. Do you guys want to hear my question?
I do.
I guess.
Who helped Harry with his homework in Diagon Alley before school started? That was Sarah.
What?
Yeah, that was Sarah. By quite a bit, I think, according to my internet.
The owner of the ice cream shop floor. Oh my god, now I can't remember it. I'm drunk, so I'm not sure.
If she doesn't know the answer, Florissant.
I can't remember now, actually.
Nope. Vijaya.
Fortescue.
Thank you. I'm so flustered now. Fortescue's actually the answer to one of my questions, so I don't know.
Gonna give that one to Vijaya.
Yeah, give Sorry, it to Vijaya. Sarah. Give it to Vijaya.
Everybody's saying Sarah by ages, but literally when Sarah...
You got it. I was first. I was so flustered about the ice cream. Fortescue.
Yeah. It's just buzzing in. To me, it sounded like Sarah beat you.
Vijaya, you got it. You got it, Vijaya. I'm not. Okay, fine.
All right. Ready?
Yep.
Ready. This time we just all got drunk instead of getting angry. This is much better. Okay, let's go.
This is a lot more questions, too. I think we were about ready to end last time. Mm-hmm. In the movie, how does the fat lady break the glass she's holding?
Ding, ding, ding.
It was Michael that time. It was definitely Michael.
Oh, okay. If you say it, I was going to say it was you, but... If you think it's Michael.
It says me?
Yeah, okay.
She it was a hilarious scene. She's singing. She sings really badly. She keeps singing badly. And then she breaks against the wall and's like, oh, my voice.
All you had to say was she breaks it against the wall.
I know, but I really wanted to just.
I was going to say she breaks it herself. So there
yeah.
you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I pantomimed it for those at home.
Michael, that's great. That is great radio, Michael. Pantomiming things. Great.
Hey,
thanks.
No problem, everybody. I'm here to
Sarah can't remember Fortescue, and then Michael beats her to the freaking thing that she already knows.
We've got Michael with 14.5. We've got Sarah with 10.5. We've got Bajaya with 9.
It's the worst.
See you next week.
Chapter 15, the Quidditch Final. So, in the last chapter, Hermione has received really bad news. She learned that Buckbeak was going to be executed. She put all of this hard work into it, and Hagrid sends her a letter, and she's obviously really upset, and he's like, I'm just going to try and give him the best life that he has in these 2 weeks, and you know, Ron's like, there's going to be an appeal, and Hermione's like, well, it never works out that well, but Ron swears that he was a dick last time, but he's going to help out by God this time.
Good.
Yeah, because Harry and Ron obviously have had like a have not been getting along well with Hermione lately, haven't been treating her all that great. But this kind of really breaks the ice because they realize that this is really upsetting to all of them, and they didn't help
this
her
is
out.
More important.
She was really right. She really needed help. They do have a hard time getting a hold of Hagrid and talking to Hagrid because ever since Sirius Black broke in, things have been so tight that they can't really leave the castle to go to his hut. They only see him during class. And he's a mess. He's trying to make the best of it, but he's not doing well. And because of this, Malfoy and Crabbe and Goyle are just like having the time of their lives making fun of him. They call him like a blubbering. They're like, looking at him blubber, look at him blubber. Yeah, he's really so mean.
Awful thing to make fun of somebody for.
Right. Like their beloved pet is going to be murdered. But of course they're being assholes about it. And Hermione has had it up to here. And so she goes up to Malfoy and slaps him as hard as she possibly can to the point where he actually staggers backwards. And it's pretty awesome. And she's yelling at him. She points her wand at him because she's actually going to do something. And so Harry and Ron kind of hold her back. And she's just, you know, not had a great day. They also have charms later that day after this whole incident. And Hermione's following them in to class, and Ron and when Harry get to class, Hermione's not there. And so she's been acting really weird, obviously. Yeah, it's kind of strange. And, you know,
I think she went to poison Malfoy's drink or something.
She might have. She just had a really weird encounter with him. So maybe they learned cheering charms. And so, you know, Harry and Ron are joking that she could have really used a cheering charm today. They're all feeling a little bit better. Yeah. But by the time the cheering charm wears off, they realize that they're a little worried because they still haven't seen Hermione yet. It's really not like her, even though, you know, she's been so busy lately. So they go back to the Gryffindor common room, and Hermione is there, and she's asleep.
What?
And yeah, she fell asleep.
Huh.
Really weird. Crazy. And so they wake her up, and she realizes that she's missed charms, which is kind of a weird thing that I'll talk about after. So she realizes she's missed charms, and she's really upset because cheering charms, she's pretty sure, is going to be on the final because Flitwick.
I bet it will be.
Yeah, it's going to be on there.
I don't think it will be. Flitwick had
mentioned, maybe not. So, you know, she's like, oh, I can't believe I missed this. And like, it's fine, it's fine. So then that afternoon, they're on the way to divination. Hermione joins them, but she, you know, goes to see Professor Flitwick first and all that stuff. So they get to divination, and when they get there, all of the tables have crystal balls on them, have orbs. And they weren't supposed to be using them until next semester or next quarter, or, you know, basically not yet. And Trelawney comes in and says, you know, oh, I foresaw that this was going to be on your finals, which is, yeah, obviously ridiculous because she's the person who makes finals.
Maybe she foresaw herself putting it on the final.
Right. So she's like, I have to do it. I have to fulfill that. Right. So she's looking in.
Sorry.
No. Behind the scenes, Michael just drank out of a wine bottle. this is just a little bit of how the sausage is made, guys.
Inside baseball.
Inside baseball. That's not what that means, but let's go with it. So they get there. They're looking at the orbs. Of course, Trelawney predicts that Harry's going to see the Grim. But before she can even say, like, oh, the Grim, she gets out a grrr. And Hermione freaks out. She's like, are you serious right now, lady? Like, I have had a day. And this is bullshit. And Trelawney, you know, obviously is very defensive and says that she's never had any, you know, Hermione's basically shown no talent for divination. And she's never seen somebody with so little talent for divination. And Hermione is like, well, you know what? That's fine with me. It's all BS anyway. She literally kicks open. Those are the words in the book. She kicks open the trapdoor and leaves like a baller.
She has zero fucks to give.
What's with Hermione? She slaps Malfoy.
She misses charms.
She misses
she
charms.
Storms out of class. Like
she. Yeah. She just wants to eat chocolate. And
she has a whole pint of Ben and Jerry's. She is marathoning Dawson's Creek like no one's business.
What is happening with her?
What is she doing?
I think she's gotten into some drugs.
Oh no! I was gonna say hogs, not drugs, but that's like a real stretch.
Hogs, not drugs.
Maybe Pamprin.
Get out of here.
I think you mean
I'll
Mite
leave
all?
The podcast.
No.
Oh, yeah, that's... Pamprin's, like, from, like, 1988 or something, right?
I don't know. I'm thinking of... never mind. Okay.
Michael has since gone through menopause, so he doesn't remember all the...
Yeah,
period.
I don't remember.
It's been a long time for Michael. He's well past those hot flashes. sorry.
Stop ganging up on Michael!
It's that... Michael kicked open this metaphorical door. He did this to him. So obviously Hermione leaves, and Lavender and Parvati are like, oh my god, Professor Trelawney, you totally predicted that one of us would leave the class forever before the end of the semester. You totally saw this. And Trelawney's like, yeah, that's absolutely what I saw. Totally. Yep. And actually, Ron even makes a comment. He goes like, someday Hermione's 7A because she's having a real bad day. So Quidditch final is on the horizon. Easter break isn't much of a break because everybody's like really crammed with homework. But mostly everyone's worrying about Quidditch and the Quidditch final. Gryffindor is so close to winning the House Cup. Or excuse me, the Quidditch Cup. Quidditch.
Oh my God.
Yep, I said that right.
It's
so close. It's like is the closest they've ever been, or not ever been, since Charlie Weasley, Ron's second oldest brother, was at Hogwarts. That's the last time Gryffindor won the cup. Yeah. And so they have to win, but not only do they have to win, they like everything shockingly relies on Harry catching the snitch. I feel like the entire game of Quidditch relies on catching the snitch. We've talked about this. There is one caveat, and that is Gryffindor has to be, it's a point-based system to win. It's not a bracket-based system, you know, like a numbers of wins and losses to win this cup, probably because there's only like three games for each team. It's kind of BS. But it's a points-based system. So Gryffindor has to be Slytherin in this game by 50 points. Otherwise, Slytherin wins. So Harry cannot catch the snitch until they're up at least 50 points.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
No pressure, kid. No pressure.
Right. Like, what if Malfoy sees the snitch before they're up? Like, that is some real pressure. So the night, you know, everybody, like I said, everybody's really nervous. Even Hermione, like, stops doing homework the day before because she's so nervous. And that night, Harry, of course, has that horrible night's sleep and all of those nightmares that you have before a really big event where you feel like you dream that you missed it or something bad happened. He dreams that he missed it and that Oliver Wood is mad because they had put Neville in instead of him, stuff like that. So he wakes up in a panic to get a drink of water. And while he's up, he looks out the window. You know, he sees the Whomping Willow, the grounds, all of that stuff, and it's pretty quiet. And then all of a sudden, he sees something move. And he's like, oh, shoot. Am I going to see the Grim the night before my Quidditch match? Because that is some bullshit. And he looks closer, and he realizes that it is a creature with a big bushy tail. And it is, in fact, Crookshanks.
Oh.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, thank God. But then, all of a sudden, out of nowhere comes a giant black dog just trotting along beside Crookshanks. Yeah.
Watch and out, Crookshanks.
Like, but they're buddies. They're BFFs. Oh, they're cute, of course. They're cute, unlikely animal friends.
Hmm.
They would have their own YouTube channel. Or Instagram.
Instagram. Account. I would follow that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I would too. I was thinking Serious Shanks, but then I was like, that sounds like a prison Instagram.
Serious Shanks, someone else today.
So anyway, Harry reasons, he's like, oh man, if Crookshanks is actually interacting with this dog, that means that dog is probably real. So he turns to Ron, he's like, Ron, wake up, can you see this? And Ron, of course, doesn't wake up. But when he turns back from trying to wake Ron up, they're gone. Like, he doesn't know where they went. Like, they're just, they've disappeared. Which, maybe what if they, Harry's been imagining Crookshanks? What if Harry's been imagining Crookshanks this whole time? It's all a figment of his imagination. That's the only possible explanation. Anyway, he obviously wakes up in time, goes to the Quidditch match. They get ready. It's a very tense game. There's a lot of dirty play going on. People are getting hit. Somebody, you know, like, Alicia gets cartwheeled, and somebody, you know, George or Fred, I think it's Fred, throws, a, like, purposely put, you know, shoots a bludger at Marcus Flint's head. It's really tense.
It's crazy.
And so, yeah, it's pretty bad. So at one point Harry sees the Snitch, but they're not up by enough and he's really hoping Malfoy doesn't see it. Thankfully there's a commotion by the goals and he, you know, the Snitch flies away. He doesn't see it. But then they're up by about, I think it's 70 points at this point. And, he sees the Snitch and it's above him. And so he starts going for it and he's just hoping that he can get to it before Malfoy. But all of a sudden, and you know, like his firebolt has been awesome. And he was really worried about it leading up to the game, like way more worried about the firebolt than he was himself, to the point where he was like neurotically checking it in between classes. I would have just carried it around with me. I don't know. And he, all of a sudden, his firebolt starts slowing down. And he's like, is even happening? Yeah.
It's faulty.
It's not faulty. He looks behind him, and Malfoy is literally grabbing the back of his broom and pulling him down.
I can't believe it.
Oh, shit.
It's not legal. And, yeah, Lee Jordan is swearing. And even McGonagall is like, what the hell? And Madame Hooch has says she has never seen such a play ever in all of her years. So that's how dirty that they're playing, you know?
Hey, by any means necessary.
And he knows that he's not going to get to it. He just doesn't want Harry to get to it at all. So that's his tactic. That's lame. So the Snitch flies away. They carry on, but it's really tense. Harry wants to, like, beat up Malfoy. Thankfully, as they go on, Harry sees the Snitch really close to the ground, but he sees Malfoy making a dive for it. And he's like, he feels like he's miles behind him. And so he just races. He flattens down his broom. He takes his hands off it. You know, he's riding freeze a bird. And he catches the Snitch before. Gryffindor has won.
Take that, Malfoy.
Cup. Yeah, what? And literally everyone is crying. Oliver Wood is crying. McGonagall is sobbing. Everyone's slapping each other's backs. It's just madness. Ravenclaw, Hufflepuff were supporting them and had applauded them earlier in the dining hall and are just having a great time. And Harry thinks to himself as you know, everybody's, you know, congratulating him. If there were Dementors there, he kind of wishes there were, actually. Because if a Dementor were to come right now, he thinks he could perfectly produce a Patronus. He is so happy.
Aww. Yeah. What a
sweetie. That's the end of that chapter. Aww. Yeah. So not necessarily a lot happens, but man, it is a chapter for Hermione, in fact. My other question is, of course, the snitch is the deciding factor. What gives?
Yeah.
But my main question is, if we obviously know what's up with Hermione, why, when they wake her up after she misses Charms, does she not just go back in time and go to Charms?
Because time is
linear.
In this case, linear.
No,
so they've already experienced her not in Charms, so she can't have been in Charms. Yeah. So she can't go back.
That would be true of anything. If she turned back the time, she could go back to right before she missed Charms, go into Charms, and then this conversation would never happen. But that's how it works when you time travel.
She just doesn't go back, I guess.
Okay. But I thought the stuff that has already happened, you can't, like, if she has already missed Charms, she can't go back and be seen by Harry and Ron, who have already seen
her. Like, if somebody sees her missing Charms, like,
but people are seeing her in other classes. Do you know what I mean? At the same time. So
it's a little confusing.
Right, because nobody saw her in Charms, so she's not going to see herself. So if she went back and, like, literally just snuck in and was like, sorry, I was in the bathroom, then, you know, I guess she would just have to sneak away before they found her asleep in the common room. I guess you're right. I don't know. J.K. Rowling's rules of time travel are very different. But they did end up changing what happened with Buckbeak and stuff like that, even though they saw themselves.
But they don't know, because they never see Buckbeak. They only hear what they think is Buckbeak.
Yeah. That's true. But they do go back and change stuff.
Yeah.
Well, they think they do, but you can argue that it happened that way the whole time.
That they just heard the axe thud.
Right.
That's true.
They were mistaken.
They influenced their past selves. I don't know.
It's pretty weird.
Okay.
Time travel, guys.
But yeah, so that's my main question. We see orbs, like, pretty much for the first time ever. They're pretty much foggy. Ron predicts that there's going to be fog that night. and Trelawney does not like that. Other question was actually about Trelawney. You know, she keeps saying, like, I see the Grim. But, like, she's kind of actually, if she's actually seeing a big black dog, she's kind of right.
Yeah. But I think she's just saying that because she loves predicting people dying.
Right, but it's weird that she said she saw the Grim, like, a big black dog, and Harry literally saw a big black dog, like, that night, like, for the first time, like, in Magnolia Crescent. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she's maybe a little bit psychic, just a tiny bit.
Or maybe, I don't know. I don't think she's psychic.
She's a fraud.
Yeah.
She's a right old fraud.
Okay, fine.
This whole thing where Hermione punches Malfoy, like,
In the book, she slaps him. In the movie,
slaps him.
In the movie, she punches him, which is what I would have done. I would have punched, but Hermione slaps.
I feel like that's one of the most memorable. It comes up, like, over and over again. Like, remember that time when Hermione totally busted
Malfoy
right in the jaw?
It's so Bamf.
It's really good.
I mean, she's
like,
she adheres by their rules so much that she would never do something like that until she's pushed to a breaking point.
Yeah, she just has no chill that day, and I kind of love it. No, she's fed up. Like, the whole Trelawney thing, I was literally cackling because it says she kicked open the door. I'm like, that is so cool. I've always wanted to just, like, bam, like, just blast open a door and leave.
I bet she was, like, kind of relieved about not being in divination, but I bet, like, as soon as she walked out walked downstairs, she was probably like, oh, no, what did I do?
She was probably sobbing uncontrollably. Yeah.
That's probably a detention-worthy disrespect of a professor, really.
Right.
Yeah, here. And to the whole class's amazement, Hermione strode over to the trapdoor, kicked it open, and climbed on the ladder out of sight.
Yeah. And then a guitar riff happened and fireworks.
Well, that was an excellent chapter. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, guys.
We've been talking about the wizard prison Azkaban a lot, but you want to learn more about it?
It's so mysterious. I would love to know more.
Okay. This is the writing on Pottermore, so if you really want to go read it there, you can. So the fortress has existed since the 15th century and was not originally a prison. Excuse me. The island is...
What was it?
I'm getting to it. The island is North Sea, and the fortress was built upon it. And the fortress, it never appeared on a map, like Muggle or Wizarding, and it's believed to have been created or enlarged by magical means. Wow. So the fortress was originally home to a little-known sorcerer who called himself Ekrizdiz? E-K-R-I-Z-D-I-S? Ekrizdiz? Sure. He was apparently really powerful, but he was not known nationally, or of unknown nationality, but he was very powerful. But he's also believed to have been insane and practiced the worst kinds of dark arts.
Oh, no.
So he was like in the middle.
That seems to be a recurring pattern with powerful wizards.
Yeah. So he was in the middle of the ocean where he would lure, torture, and kill Muggle sailors, apparently for pleasure. And when he died and the concealment charms that he had cast faded away, that's only when the Ministry of Magic realized the island and the fortress. Before that, they didn't know either existed.
Whoa. So was it like just his pad? Did he just chill there?
Yeah, he just crazy hung out there by himself and tortured people. So people, after they found out about it, they went and investigated. And the people that went to investigate it refused to talk about it afterwards because what they had found out inside was so gruesome and frightening that they just didn't want to talk about it at all. But
that's pretty dark.
This is a bad place.
Yeah. There's some bad juju going on up in there.
And get this, the least frightening part of that place was that it was infested with Dementors. That's the least frightening part of it. So just imagine what he had done with those Muggle sailors. Because he was
so
crazy.
I don't know. That is crazy. Did they explain like how the Dementors, like did he create them or did they just breed there? Like how did they come to be at that castle? Did he chill with them? Did he like them?
He probably brought them over. It didn't say how they were there. They were either I would think that they're probably attracted by the intense emotional I don't know, draw of that place because he was torturing and killing Muggles. Maybe he was just hanging out with Dementors and maybe he bred them because he's a crazy person.
Do you think he created them or do you think they just...
No, he didn't say he was... he created them. He either liked to hang out with them because he was crazy or they were drawn by the terribleness that was happening. That's just my theory. It didn't say on Pottermore. The ministry thought... So the fortress was called Azkaban. So they just thought that it should be destroyed. But then other people thought that if it was destroyed, then the Dementors would leave that place and go outside to find sustenance because they still need, like, emotions to feed off of. So they're very strong. The Dementors are very strong and impossible to kill. And, so they would just go...
I was just going to ask that. Like, yeah, can you... You can't... You just can drive them off. You can't actually kill them ever?
That's a good point. It says impossible to kill.
That's horrible.
That is not good.
Yeah.
So nothing is impossible to kill.
The walls of the building were steeped in misery and pain, and the Dementors were like, I love it. I'm loving it.
It's just like that Charlie and the Chocolate Factory wallpaper.
Yeah. So there are also experts of Dementors in Azkaban that thought that if it had so much dark magic in the fortress that if people tried to destroy it, it might wreak its own revenge on the people trying to destroy it. So they just left it abandoned because trying to destroy it would have opened up potentially opened a Pandora's box. So once the International Statute of Secrecy came about, the Ministry of Magic felt like the small prisons, wizarding prisons that existed was not, well, had a, was it posed a security risk because people, I mean, criminals are criminals. They're still going to try to break out. And when that happens, there is a lot of like noise and bangs and smells and light shows that was hard to explain to the Muggles. So there was a purpose-built prison located on a some remote Hebridean island was preferred. And then the plans were drawn up when Damocles Raoul, is that how you pronounce it? Raoul? Because sure. he has a descendant later that's a Death Eater. Raoul, sure.
Oh, yeah.
He became the Minister of Magic. Here, this is when, this is kind of a reflection of what is happening in America today. So Raoul was an authoritarian who had risen to power on an anti-Muggle agenda.
Weird.
Capitalizing on the anger felt by much of the wizarding community at being forced to go underground.
That seems not relevant at all.
No, doesn't. And then, so he was sadistic by nature, so he scrapped the plans for the new prison on that one Hebridean island or whatever, and he insisted on using Azkaban. He said the Dementors are perfect guards, and they should take advantage of them. And that would save the ministry time, trouble, and expenses. And even, like, the experts on both Dementors and Azkaban were like, dude, you shouldn't do this. It's a bad idea. He's like, I mean, I have the best plans, the great plans. I have the best people. I have the best brain. We need to do this. So he carried out his plan anyways. And so...
And it was huge. And it was hugely, bigly successful.
So the Azkaban became a huge prison for wizards. So prisoners began trickling into Azkaban, but no one ever returned. So Raoul was succeeded by Perseus Parkinson, who was also pro-Azkaban. I'm guessing Pansy Parkinson's
ancestor. Probably.
And so by the time Eldritch Diggory took over, the ministry, the prison had been operating 15 years. No breakouts, no breaches. And everybody was like, oh, this prison is doing so well. Until Diggory went to visit the prison, and then he realized how or what the conditions inside the prison were exact or were like. That prisoners were going, prisoners were going insane. And then they even had to make a graveyard because people kept dying of despair.
Oh my God.
Yeesh. So Diggory
They didn't have a graveyard before where they're just like dead prisoners everywhere?
No, I'm guessing before in Wizard Prison, they didn't, like, prisoners didn't die in droves like they did in
But it's been like been like 15 years since they started. There's bound to have been some people who died before of scariness. That's creepy. That's gross.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what they're saying is that a graveyard had been established on the island.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Diggory was like horrified by this, so he started a committee to figure out an alternative to Azkaban, or at least remove Dementors or guards as guards.
Asgards.
And then the experts are like, the only reason Dementors are staying on that island is because they have a constant supply of souls. If you take them out as guards, they're going to, again, probably go everywhere and start terrorizing everyone. And there he was like, but we still need to do better by these prisoners. So he still tried to find an alternative. But before a decision could be made, he died of dragonpox.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Did he really die of dragon pox?
Oh,
or was it?
It's true. Some of that spray on radiation on his oatmeal.
I'm just saying, just spray it. just spray it in his face when you're on the metro, when you're on the tube.
Yeah.
Done.
So from his death until Kingsley Shacklebolt became minister, spoiler alert, no minister ever considered closing Azkaban. No, nobody seriously considered it. They just tried.
So here's the thing: is like,
oh, go ahead.
They said they didn't consider shutting it down, and obviously there were still some prisoners, though other prisoners were sort of dying, but they were basically feeding criminals to crazy, gross. They were feeding criminals to creatures.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure. That's like, and, like, shouldn't they kept doing it? That's so weird.
It's inhumane.
Shouldn't there have been like another prison that was maybe not like, so bad?
This is like Azkaban is like Sing Sing, and then there's like a lesser, like yeah, a blue collar crime.
Then
one.
There's just like, yeah, I was gonna say the Martha Stewart jail.
Because they sent Hagrid there when they didn't even know if he was really a bad guy or not.
That's so true. he should basically just be going to like your local sheriff's department.
Right.
Well, I guess that's so true. The whole point of putting prisoners in Azkaban is that it was so far out that they didn't have to worry about the international statute of secrecy being broken. But at the same time, there's a difference. Like, Hagrid should have gone to jail and not prison.
Yeah.
Right. Should have been, like, right. Just gone to holding or something.
Also, I can't see Dementors being all that great at, like, administrative tasks and, like, paperwork. Like, how are they running the prison? I don't get that. Like... like, even if there's no electricity, like, is there, like, a Dementor chef who has, like, kiss me, I'm a cook, like, apron on? Because they theoretically have to eat.
They feed the prisoners. Yeah. The prisoners
so is there, like, a little Dementor wearing a hairnet somewhere?
Oh, my God. Know. That's hilarious. I hope there is.
They're actually surprisingly good cooks.
So anyway,
this quiche will literally destroy your
soul. Their mouth is for the deathly kiss, but also for savory and sweet snacks.
Like, yes. This dinner is so delicious, but the portions are so small.
God, they're
and
so sadistic.
And the prisoners are like, no.
Just give me more. So hungry.
All the ministers, after Diggory, turn a blind eye to the inhumane conditions. And they just kept permitting people or the ministry to expand and enlarge it. Magically, but rarely visited because they themselves didn't want to be affected by the Dementors. Which is very selfish of them, and they are dicks. They justified their attitude by saying, oh, look, we never have had any breakouts. But 3 centuries passed, and then the record was broken. A young man was successfully smuggled out of the prison when visiting mother exchanged places with him. Because the Dementors only...
Spoilers.
The Dementors only saw one...
Is it like a...
2 people coming in, 2 people going out because they're blind.
Yeah, they never knew.
And then the escape was followed by another, still more ingenious and impressive, when Sirius Black managed to evade them.
Whoa.
So the weakness of the prison, you know, was demonstrated again because there are more breakouts, both involving Death Eaters, and then the Dementors are like, oh, Lord Voldemort's back, and we'll probably go with him because he says that he's gonna feed us more souls. But then Albus Dumbledore was the only one who forever disapproved the use of Dementors, not just because it was inhumane, but he also
job creation, taking a good job with wizard guards.
But he also foresaw the shift of, possible shift of loyalties of the Dementors. So under Shacklebolt, Azkaban was purged of Dementors. It still remains in use as a prison, but the guards are now Aurors who are regularly rotated from the mainland, and there has never there has been no breakout since a new system.
So do the Aurors who work there now have to, like, they have to keep the Dementors at bay, because theoretically the Dementors are still, there's probably still some real bad juju in those walls that they can kind of feed off of,
It doesn't say what they did with the Dementors.
Where did they go? Yeah, because if that was part of the concern originally, was that these Dementors are going to go somewhere else, and that's why we'll keep them in this one concentrated area, that then, like a Dementor reservation or something. I don't know. Then where did they go after that?
I don't know. It didn't say. It just says Purge of Dementors. Hopefully, I mean,
is that what's happening in America right now?
Yes.
Oh God, we have the surplus of Azkaban.
That's what happened with Brexit, and that's what's happening in France, and that's what's happening here.
God, it all makes sense now.
But I mean, it would make sense. Okay, so keeping them all in one concentrated place versus spreading them out between 7 billion people
doesn't make sense remotely.
That makes more sense to me.
Having them concentrated?
No, spreading them out.
Oh, that's what I was saying. I was saying, having them concentrated, they're just going to breed like rabbits, right? I don't know.
Maybe they like trap them somewhere.
I hope so.
Or something.
Maybe they trapped them in a little an oil lamp, and hopefully no one will rub it.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be a bad genie.
Yeah. Anyway, so here, just a short little thing. The name Azkaban comes from a mixture. This is from J.K. Rowling's thoughts. She made it from a mixture of the prison Alcatraz, which is closest Muggle equivalent, being set
that's
on
right,
an
island.
And Abaddon, which is a Hebrew word meaning place of destruction or depths of hell.
Yikes.
Yeesh.
She got that's real dire. Deep with that. Yeah.
That's a pretty creepy. That's a pretty creepy history, to be honest with you.
It's like super in-depth, and when I was reading it, I was like, holy shit, they're talking about Trump.
Just saying.
Yeah. So that's
any horrible leader who has fed on the fear of people.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Any and all.
Yeah.
All right.
I want to say awesome.
That was
also
so
spooky.
Good. It's really great.
But actually, I kind of now like. I would love to see some sort of like Azkaban movie. That'd be so creepy. I don't know.
Yeah. What if they made a horror movie about what that dude was doing?
That's what I'm saying. I would watch that guy's. I would watch a creepy biopic of that. A fake biopic of that guy. That'd be so weird.
M. Night Shyamalan, make this happen.
Get on it. All right. Well, thanks, Vijaya.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for You're a Wizard, Harry.
Want to help out? Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Want to get in touch? Email us at potterpod@geeklyinc.com or follow us on Twitter at potterpod or geeklyinc. And individually, you can find me at thriftynerd.
I'm Vijaya Shrestha, and you can find me on Twitter at ethnicninja.
I am Sarah Tompkins, and you should hit me up at herladytompkins.
Editing help this week by Alan Matthews. Our podcast art is created by Jesse Carlton. You can find more of his work at J! On Instagram. And our music is created by Sean Fagan. Find more of his music at soundcloud.com/sleepyfish.